VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 6th of April, 2025. Now on with the news.
Last Sunday was Wison WA's first training and community exercise for a year. Three members of Wison were active. Phil was unavoidably detained on life getting in the way matters in Bunbury. Phil, you were missed. The three were all previous members of the Scout Association, and all three in our time awarded the Queen's Scout Award. Just by the by, great to be of service to our community. These were State Coordinator Bob VK 6 Kilo Whiskey, State Secretary Kevin VK 6 Kilo Quebec, and myself, Mark VK 6 X-ray Lima Zulu. The event was the Dementia Australia Memory Walk and Jog for Perth for 2025. We were all on site by 06:30 and were setting up the repeater and antenna for a set of commercial channel HTs. These were used by the DA organisers and staff for essential communications during the walk. The walk and the communications all went off without incident, and after the pack-up, the Chief of Staff on site for Dementia Australia praised the quality of the repeater this year. I don't know, maybe we just got the antenna higher this year. Anyway, it was great praise and the event was good experience. It was open to other hams to come down and see the event, although no one took up that opportunity. The next meeting of Wison WA, other than this week's WisonNet, on Wednesday night, 3.600 plus or minus QRM, and the All-Star WA linked hub from VK6RAV and on VK6RLM in Perth from 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. The next meeting, other than that, will be the meeting at First Midland Scout Hall in Bellevue on Monday night, the 14th of April. So, not tomorrow, next week. Doors will open at 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start. We should be talking about a number of things, including what's next for training activities in WA. A missing man fox, perhaps? Just a thought. Please give us your feedback. You can look us up at www.wicenwa.org. That's wisonwa.org. And via email at cq@wisonwa.org or wisonwa@outlook.com. Also, if you head over to groups.google.com and log in with your Google account, you can search for Wisonwa. That's all from the Wireless Institute Civil Emergencies Network in Western Australia for this week. 7.3s from VK6 Whiskey India Echo.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Recently, I started an experiment I plan to run for a year. Using a whisper beacon and a dummy load, I'm transmitting 200 milliwatts 24 hours a day across all bands supported by my hardware. In this case, it covers 80, 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10 meters. The aim of the experiment is to determine if, and to what extent, my dummy load can be heard outside my shack. Why? Because I've not seen anyone do this, and because the dummy load is widely believed to not radiate, despite evidence to the contrary. Together with the transmission side, I've also configured an RTL-SDR dongle, initially with the telescopic antenna it came with. Now, since my HF antenna isn't being used by the beacon, I'm using it instead. It's about 5 meters away from the beacon, outside. It's a helically wound whip resonant on the 40-meter band built by Walter, Victor Kilo 6 Bravo Charlie Papa, now Silent Key. It's what I've been using as my main antenna for the past 7 years or so. While I'm telling you this, my beacon has been heard by my dongle 1,182 times across all 8 bands. Some of those reports were from inside the shack, some from outside. Some while I was monitoring a single band, and for the past week or so, I've been monitoring all the bands supported by RTL-SDR Whisper-D, 18 in all. Purposely, this includes some bands that I'm not transmitting on, because who knows what kinds of harmonics I might discover. The receiver changes band every half hour, so over time, when I monitor a band, will shift across the day. This is deliberate. I don't know when a stray transmission might suddenly appear, and this will give me the best chance of hearing it, short of using 18 different receivers. At this time, my beacon hasn't been heard by any other station. I'm not expecting it to, but that's why I'm doing this experiment in the first place. I'm not in any way reaching any sense of DX on a dummy load, but it got me thinking. My beacon can be heard, albeit by me, from 5 meters away, so it's radiating to some extent. I've already discussed that this might come from the patch lead between the beacon and the dummy load, or it could be the dummy load itself, or some other aspect of the testing configuration. Regardless of the situation, there's a signal coming from my beacon that's wirelessly being heard by a receiver. That's the same as what you'd hope to achieve with any antenna. So in what way are an antenna and a dummy load different? And in what way are they the same? Whenever someone asks this, the stock answer is that an antenna radiates and a dummy load doesn't. My experiment, 20 days in, has already proven that this distinction is incomplete, if not outright wrong. Even so, if we take it on face value and we say, for argument's sake, that a dummy load doesn't radiate and an antenna does, then how do we materially distinguish between the two? How does an antenna compare to a dipole, Yagi, or vertical antenna, and where does the isotropic radiator fit in this? The best I've come up with so far is a spectrum line comparing the various elements. Let's say that at one end of the spectrum is a dummy load. At the other is an isotropic radiator. To refresh your memory, that's the ideal radiator. It radiates all RF energy in all directions equally. Somewhere between the two ends is a dipole. We might argue if the dipole sits equally between a dummy load and an isotropic radiator, but where does a Yagi or a vertical fit in relation to the dipole? Also, if you turn a Yagi in the other direction, does it change place? So perfect this notion is not, but here's my question. What's the measurement along the axis between the dummy load and the isotropic radiator? It's not SWR, since the ideal antenna and a dummy load share the same SWR, unless this line is a circle that I don't know about. It might be total radiated power expressed in watts. But that seems counterintuitive. It would mean that in order to determine the effectiveness of an antenna, we'd need to set up in an anechoic chamber, basically a warehouse-sized room where incoming radiation is shielded to some predetermined standard. Do we measure gain using a VNA and call it a day, or is there something else going on? Remember, we're attempting to quantify the difference between a dummy load and an antenna. In case you're wondering, I'm asking the question. In the 15 years I've been part of this community, I've never seen any coherent response. The internet seems to return a variation on the radiation versus not radiation pattern, but so far I've not seen anyone quantify this. Or perhaps I haven't understood it while it was staring me in the face. I even checked the syllabus for the 3 license classes in Australia. The single reference that the regulator appears to specify is that at the introductory level, you are required to, wait for it, recall that when testing a transmitter, a non-radiating load, or dummy load, is commonly used to prevent a signal from being radiated. Very illuminating. Obviously, my dummy load is of the wrong type, the radiating variety, which begs the question, if there's an ideal radiator, is there a theoretical ideal dummy load that doesn't radiate in any way? And if so, how far away on this line is it from my actual dummy load? Over to you. What are your thoughts on this? Better yet, got any references? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG technical and general net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750 or channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
On Tuesday afternoons and evenings, the 40 and 80 metre bands come alive with the sound of slow CW. Who would have thought that this ancient art, which some say was once such a dreaded part of the amateur licence test, would become so popular in these days of modern communications? The uncontrolled net is run in designated portions of the two bands to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment. Slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or to just enjoy the banter. The CQQRS net started in Western Australia 3 years ago and has been running every single Tuesday and has been unbelievably popular. The net runs from 3 p.m. until about 7 p.m. on 40 metres, then moves to 80 metres, and we've had up to 60 stations on air having a go, and who knows how many listeners are out there every Tuesday as well. So, the CQQRS net is on 40 metres between 0700 Zulu and 1100 Zulu, that is 3 p.m. until 7 p.m., and is held between 7020 and 7040 kHz. Then between 0900 Zulu and 1300 Zulu, which is 5 p.m. until 9 p.m., we're on between 3540 and 3570 kHz every Tuesday. There's no net control, so when you're ready to have a go, just find a quiet spot and start calling CQQRS at about 75% of the speed you can copy. Most stations will match your speed, so go slow until you're really comfortable with CW. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code, or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed. We'd love to have you join in. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So again, the net starts at 3 p.m. every Tuesday, above the DX segment on 40 metres between 7020 and 7040. Then, after 7 p.m, moves to 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz. There are usually stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our free weekly CQQRS RagTune newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via the email on qrz.com, or you can use our address, cqrsnet@gmail.com. That is cqrsnet@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to have a chat.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's April Bulletin to go to air. Firstly though, an important announcement. Monthly lunchtime meeting venue change. The popular and well-attended monthly luncheons for the RAOTC members and friends in and around Perth are held on the second Tuesday of each month. That means that this month's luncheon meeting is the day after tomorrow, Tuesday, April the 8th. The new venue is the High Wycombe Bar and Grill, High Wycombe Village Shopping Centre, 530 Calamunda Road, High Wycombe, the meeting starting at 11:30 a.m. The last two monthly luncheons were held there and proved very satisfactory, so the decision was made to continue with this venue until further notice. There's ample parking available in the adjacent car park. The hotel is accessible by public transport via the train to High Wycombe Station, linking with bus route 276 and alighting on Calamunda Road near the corner of Cyril Road, approximately 300 metres from the venue. because Phil, VK6ZKO, the usual lunchtime coordinator, will be unavailable for the April and May meetings, Alasdair, VK6ATX, formerly VK6KIF, is looking after the bookings. If you wish to attend Tuesday's lunch, please email Alasdair ASAP to confirm your attendance. His email address is vk6kif@bigpond.com. Once again, Alasdair's email address is vk6kiloindiafoxtrot@bigpond.com. Now, if you missed any of the foregoing, you can find it all on the RAOTC website under Perth Luncheons. Now, some local broadcast details. Tomorrow, Chris, VK6JI, will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz, starting at 8 a.m. Please note that this start time of 8 a.m. is an hour earlier than it used to be. At 9 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5. This transmission originates in Victoria, so the time change to 9 a.m. is because Eastern Daylight Saving Time in Victoria has now ended. At 10 a.m. local time, the program will be transmitted via the News West Link Repeater System, simultaneously with a 40-meter transmission on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI. On Wednesday, April the 9th, we have a D-Star broadcast at about 5:30 p.m. WA local time. Once again, please note that the time change is because Victoria has now changed to Standard Time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C following AR Newsline. On Sunday, April the 13th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 160-metre and the 80-metre broadcasts of the WIA News, both of which now start at 6 a.m., and again after the 40-metre broadcast, which now starts at 8 a.m. Just repeating those new start times, 80 metres at 6 a.m., 40 metres at 8 a.m., both conducted by Chris VK6JI. Tune in tomorrow for the April RAOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
You are listening to News West on VK6ARN. G'day from WAG. The next WAG meeting is tomorrow night. Yes, folks, it's come around again. Doors open at 7 for a 7:30 p.m. start at the first Pelican Point Sea Scout Hall. That's number 1212, Australia 2 Drive in Crawley. All the way down to the end and hidden behind a tree is the entry to the car park. Make sure you go all the way and sharp left. There is always time both before and after the meeting for catching up with your fellow hams. There's tea, coffee and other refreshments. Also, of note to WAG members is that the WAG financial year began on April 1, and your WAG subs are due for the 25-26 year. Please note that the AGM is coming up in May, and you should think about either nominating or, if you want to vote, making yourself financial before the AGM. More information will be available to WAG members through the WAG Reflector, and you can check out the website at www.warg.org.au. There's much to discuss this month at the meeting, as always, and we hope to see you there tomorrow night. There is a technical and general net after this morning's news, to be held 10:30 a.m. WA local time on 146.750 VK6RLM and the linked All-Star Hubs. If you are listening in the evening, the net is next week. Come to the meeting. See you there tomorrow night, 7-3s from WAG VK6RRG.
Hi, I'm Bob VK6POP. Russ's QST magazine for March, April is now available for viewing at qtcmag.com or download at vkradioamateurs.org, which is Russ's website. In this edition is the full coverage of the Antenna Palooza event in January, including a blow-by-blow description of the construction, operation, and the final demise of the enormous 20-metre curtain array project. It's an interesting read. Did you know that QST will run advertisements for your clubs, hamfests, major events, etc.? Just send your copy and artwork to us. Our email address is vkradioamateurs.org. Early to mid-month is a good time to submit your copy, and our publishing date is usually the first week of the month. So what happened to the current issue? It was simply due to ill health amongst the editorial team. We'll try to do better next time by not being concurrently ill. On the Western Australian front, I'm looking forward to attending Ham Canchen. It's always been a good show and hopefully the weather will be kind to us. We all know the farmers like the rain, but let's give it a day off on that weekend. It can rain on the Monday if it likes. That's fine. Ham Campshin is on the weekend 16, 17, 18th of May at the Mayen Up Sports Ground. And you don't need to book. There's plenty of room for your tent, caravan or camper, or swag if you want. There's a camping fee of $10 per person per night. And you can pay that by cash or credit card on the day, and Darren will be the tax collector for that purpose. There are toilets and hot showers on site, as well as a camp kitchen. You should bring your own drinking water and camping everything, food, drinks, you know how it goes. So see you at Ham Campshin. And yesterday, a group of amateurs gathered at Bluff Knoll in the Stirling Ranges for the scattering of the remaining ashes of Mike VK6MB. There will be a story in more detail next week. That's about it from me. Have a good week, and I hope to be serious about getting on air soon in the new QTH. The interior stuff is done. I just need to get some wire in the air. I'm Bob VK6POP.
Good morning, all amateurs and shortwave listeners. Roy, VK6X-ray Victor, with this week's helpline, the 6th of April, 2025. Today, I have the following, but my power is off at the moment, so I'll try and get through in the dark. No lights on here at the present time, except for my computer. Today, I have the following. A TET M-tron, three-element or four-element tri-band, 15, 20, and 10-meter antenna, can be assembled as either a three or four element to suit the needs of the operator. All parts are there to do so. Good working order, $600 or nearest offer. Original Chemtron matching ballon at the feed point. And item two, we have a bunch of aluminium tubing for DIY antennas or beams, relatively unused. Images can be sent if you require. And also heavy metal tube construction scaffolding to meet with other uses in the metal clamps and pipe-to-pipe fittings. Solders a whole lot, $300 a lot with the aluminium tubing and the fittings. Images to close if you require. Please contact Bill, VK6YW. He's downsizing his property. Phone number is 0424-082800. We'll say again, 0424-082800. And the email address is ozapapafox or something. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I'll spell it. Oscar Zulu Papa Alpha Foxtrot Oscar X-ray at gmail.com. Too complicated? I'll try again. Oscar Zulu Papa Alpha Fox Oscar X-ray at gmail.com. I think I got through that okay. And what else have I got? I got a Yaesu Fox Tango 301 Delta transceiver, also a Yaesu Fox Charlie 301 antenna tuning unit and matching unit to match that transceiver, and a Yaesu power supply, Fox Papa power supply, external speaker also included, and to match with the manual. Also, all those items, $300 or nearest offer for the complete transceiver, power supply and speaker, etc. Also, a Yaesu Fox Tango 840 transceiver with manual, as new, purchase a backup and very seldom used in anger or in pleasure, $900 or nearest offer. There's also a 100-foot tower or mast at five sections of 20 feet each. Telescoping sections, of course, requires guy wires. Triangular mast, $200 or nearest offer. There's also a TH3 Junior 3-element tri-band antenna, Yagi, $100 or nearest offer on that one. Telephone either 089625-1335, 089625-1335, or mobile 04900-13464. Again, 04900-13464. That's for Chick, VK6 Zulu Alpha India, up at Meckering. VK6 X-ray Victor. My email address for any items for next week, VictorKilo6XRayVictor@bigpond.com. And hopefully I'll have some power on by then, and we might be able to see what I'm doing. Cheers now. Now clear and 7-3.
Hi there. It's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.